Hey guys, and welcome to the Growth Focus podcast. I'm really excited today to have our guests, Dario and Julian from Null Platform IO. They're going to be diving deeper into their story and some of the insights that they have for growing the businesses in this amazing tech industry that we have. So stay tuned to the very end. Listen, but without further ado, let's just jump straight in. Let's start off with Dario. If you'd like to just introduce yourself quickly and give us a quick snippet of your story and how you got to where you are today. And then we'll move to Julian.
Amazing. So Gary, first of all, thank you very much for inviting us. It's a great pleasure for us to be here talking about Null Platform, our story and the challenges we faced over time. So really grateful about this opportunity. So let me tell you about us. We are four founders with more than 20 years in the industry, 15 years of combined experience in different companies before to starting Null Platform. All of this time working on high-tech companies of great with great scalability problems. Probably the most relevant experience we have together, we live together, is in Mercado Libre. Mercado Libre is the largest e-commerce platform for Latin America and one of the top three in the world. It's a $100 billion company, which we happen to be from the very beginning. We are part of the founding tech team, if you want. And we design the platforms over time, over the years, with Julian, also with Gabriel and Pablo. And we conquered like many other experiences after that. So that is kind of our story. Like a few years ago, we started Null Platform with the idea of serving 95% of the GDP, which is let's say other kind of companies, healthcare, finance industry, and many others, to help organize their engineering teams and take most of the value out of their engineering organizations, like other companies that let's say high scale or more focused on technology are actually doing. So Julian, please introduce yourself too. I don't want to steal the story, right?
I believe you made a great summary. Yes, like the TLDR here is that we've been doing this for quite a long time already. Dario, me, and the rest of the founder have been working on different kinds of platform for engineers and for the technology team in companies, from data, AI, and now more focus on the core development for the companies. And it's all about, you know, like making it much easier and much more scalable and much more governable to do technology, because nowadays it has become really quite complex. And well, we're trying to make it easier for companies to add new people to the team or to increase the complexity of the business without having, you know, this decreasing, you know, like yields, right? It happens that it is much harder today to grow a team and keep that efficiency that you have you had back in the days when you were in your garage, right? So yeah, that's what Null Platform is about.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and challenge, talk about challenges, and this is like what would you say is, like, you know, you've been around for many years now, you literally are in the problem solving business that you are. When it comes to the industry as a whole, and as we talked off camera earlier on today, we were saying that, you know, tech moves really, really quickly. What was, you know, a massive trend 12 months ago is almost forgotten today. What kind of trends are you seeing in the industry today? What is your clients, you know, biggest challenges they're having that you're seeing that you're finding it, that it's a problem to solve, to do business today?
Yeah, I think like there is a skyrocketing complexity in businesses when it comes to technology, that and you will find, let's say, financial industry, healthcare, and many other, let's say, traditional industries are facing, like have faced in the past, like different stages in which they are, let's say, rebuilding technology over the years. Like they have infrastructure or software that has been designed in the 90s and the 2000s, and then they have newer stacks, and it's kind of the complexity pile ups. And in nowadays, it's like every strategic initiative that you have, if you want to go to another market, if you want to grow your user base, whatever the strategic business goal is, the most likely situation is that you are going to do it through technology. Technology is going to be either an enabler or a stopper. And basically, like this accumulating complexity and the fact that the cloud has been consolidating over the years, but companies do keep infrastructure in the on-prem, or that companies are diversifying to different clouds, etc., is making it a lot more complicated for them to compete with other companies that are younger and mm-hmm. has a much more, let's say, agile kind of context and process and technology to move. So like we constantly see like how big companies with high quality businesses are losing battles to small companies that start a new business right next to them, and they are much faster to deliver on customers' needs, right, than let's say more mature businesses. It's like the marginal benefit of an additional engineer or any engineering investment that you can do is usually like a decreasing over when, as companies grow, right? So we are focused on reducing complexity, on making investment in engineer feasible in contexts that technology is sophisticated or outdated, right? Mm. We are currently serving many financial institutions in Latin America with large engineering teams and very complex landscapes like on-premise infrastructure, cloud infrastructure, and that they also have different clouds or different, let's say, kind of applications from, let's say, the mainframe, or they have old Java applications, and they also have, let's say, newer stacks. And we are helping them create a simple environment for developers, and while keeping regulation and governance in line, right? Like they are facing exponential costs in terms of cloud because, okay, if you have too many people and too many different stacks, then you have a lot of complexity, and complexity drive cost a lot more than actual transactions drive cost, right? Like complexity is an enemy of efficiency.
Yeah.
All the possible ways. So we are helping customers standardize the process with a very divergent kind of stack. That is what we are doing. It's like modernizing the process of companies that have a great pain in terms of security requirements, in terms of compliance requirements, in terms of technological history, and mm-hmm. making sure they operate the way they will be operating if they were a startup, the startup that is competing right next to them. So we kind of level the ground for them to be able to have an accountability culture, a simple technology stack to focus on the business, right?
I would like to add something on top of this. I believe that you were asking about what are the current trends, right? And I believe that most of the, let's say, of the struggle that we are seeing in companies have to do with a little bit with what's the current trend, but also what was the last trend, you know, because the last trend has left companies with a lot of complexity and a lot of mess inside the companies, because some time ago, trend was, hey, we have to move everything to the cloud, right? So mm-hmm. everybody kind of moved to the cloud, but they moved the way they could, right, with the skills they had at the time. So a lot of the problems that we are seeing, let's say a trend that is that you have to dig a little bit into companies to find, but actually the trend is, hey, how can we put some order into the mess that we have created with the previous trend, right? So yes, if you are asking me today what's the trend, it should be something around AI, most likely. Like everybody's trying to incorporate AI into their business. They're struggling with all the mess that the previous trend created, right? So I believe that that's kind of where we shine. We are allowing those companies to focus on the business and not having to care so much about, let's say, the mess, because we are trying to avoid that mess in the first time.
Yeah, that's really interesting from both of what you've said. Yeah, you're absolutely right. From a lot of the interviews I've done, not only with my own partners, but with my interviews as well, there is a lot of back mess that we have to sort out. You know, when they're going in there, it's all well and good having a solution, but it's, you got to make sure you're digging deep enough to clear all the mess that was there before, so that your solution works as efficiently as it does, as opposed to just being a plaster or a Elastoplast that gets put over an old problem. You know, so we hear that an awful lot, and it's great to hear that, you know, you're understanding that, and where your business comes from is to really to allow your clients, allow your customers to just get on with what they're good at, get on with their business. You know, like you said, moving from on-prem to cloud, that's one great big move they've got to do. Then they're on cloud, and then they've got to sort out all the efficiencies for that. So it's great to hear, you know, that you guys are doing that. So for the people who don't know, have never heard of Null Platform, Want to break it down exactly? What is it that Love and Flavor does in layman's terms? How is it that you, without going too technically into jargon, what is it that Null Platform actually does?
So Null Platform is the platform for engineering teams. You know, like back in the days, like 20 years ago, even finance teams didn't have, let's say, a platform or an integrated system in where, like, say, to do their stuff, right? You have, let's say, a shared drive with spreadsheets and stuff like that to do accounting and tax to do taxes reports, report to the SEC, to like all the things where, let's say, processes. I think the best way to define what we are doing in terms of, let's say, non-technology jargon is like ERPs have done a similar thing for this kind of manual process with instructions and distributed spreadsheets and experts and complexity and emails to technology teams. You know, you would be surprised how amateur like the usual the technology process is. It's usually a wiki somewhere plus tickets plus, and it's an ever-changing process because we have new regulations, new technologies, new stuff, and teams are usually organized this way. Node Platform is the ERP for technology teams, right? It's going to be to have a meaningful cockpit for developers, going to have that will give them, let's say, they'll put them back in control. Developers will be able to deliver features to the business without being, let's say, constrained in terms of autonomy and with a very simple technology context.
Mm-hmm.
But then security officers, compliance officers, financial officers, etc., will be able to control this team. And this is a very important part, because our tool will do enforcing by the tool. So the teams that are usually controlling, responding tickets, writing wikis, are going to be creating policies that will be automatically being enforced by the tool, basically. So we have a platform that is exactly that. It's a meaningful cockpit for everybody inside the engineering organization. And for managers, we deliver very clear KPIs, dashboards, and a data lake, and an operational kind of observability that is attributable to every engineer in the team. So that's basically it's like creating an accountability environment for developers and a very tight control mechanism for the management.
Mm, brilliant. And Julia?
Oh, so
what
so.
What, sorry. Well, go ahead.
No. Just to complement what Dario is saying, just to make it clear, like we are a SaaS company, right? So we have, a platform that takes the shape, you know, of a UI interface, but that's actually orchestrating all those services and applications and taking care of, you know, the whole development process to make it as simple as you were back in the days in which you will just, you know, press play on the development environment and your application will just pop out, right? Like as to make it as easy as people learn how to code and to develop on universities. So we're trying to remove all the complexity that stands behind, you know, between your code and a client. We are trying to streamline that process, and we are streamlining that process. So it is as easy for you to press a button and put your stuff in the hands of your clients, while, you know, coping with all the complexity of real enterprises, which have policies, which have compliance, which have like a lot of things to care about.
Yeah, totally. There's always so many balls to be juggling when it comes to running your business, making sure that you're doing the deliverables as well. So that being said, what would you say is your value proposition? What makes you guys different to the absolute flood of SaaS companies that are out there today? What is your value proposition, and how do you get that across to your marketplace?
So I think we offer a transformation service plus product. And when thinking with Julian about how do we face the partnership issue, right? It is because of that, right? Like the partnership is essential for us because we deliver a transformation for the company. I think like there are like many tools. It's a, you know, technology is mined with micro tooling that you can use to solve specific problems. We have two differentiators, I would say. The first one is we are an integration tool that will be focused on the overall experience. This is not common in the industry. Like most of the solutions out there will be solving one of those problems, either provisioning or monitoring or any of those. We are in the business of integrating things, not, let's say, rebuilding something out there. The other thing that's why we are integrating even with other technologies and facilitating a unified process that is modern, etc. And the other one is that we deliver a solution for our customers, and that means we commit with success, right? We have the services necessary to transform the way and to challenge the way the organization works. We do have a product for sure that is a necessary, let's say, building block for success. But we are committed to all the rest, right? It's like we have the professional services, we have all the support needed for our customers to succeed at a very hard transformation that they have to face when they commit to have a modern engineering organization. That is what we do. Let's say we deliver modern organization, engineering organization as a service. Service.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of our business line, right?
Yeah, fascinating. So what I'm curious to know is, I mean, and I totally agree with you, and I'm hearing this more and more over the last 12 months, the word partnership. We work in partnership with our clients. You know, that's why we only have a handful, because we go together. And it's not just me, it's not just you, it's where I'm seeing the industry. The leaders in the industry are doing more and more partnership deals now than ever before. They want to hold the hand and go together. So we are, you know, we have a vested interest. The best companies have a vested interest in their client stroke partners' results, the outcomes that they will get. And certainly this is certainly a trend that I'm seeing helping tech firms move forward and be and hit their goals that they require, that they were looking for. So that being said, and I don't know if you even know this, but what is the goal? Where are you heading? Let's say 12 to 36 months. What's the goal for Noddle Platform? And what are you doing to get there?
So our goal is to transform the way engineering organizations work, to be like a lot more focused on the business, in a way that engineers can create a lot more impact than they actually do. We are kind of, let's say, surprised by the difference between, let's say, if you split organizations, if you take a look at a startup working, and if you take a look at that mature organization, which is 95% of the GDP, right? You take a look at the way they operate, the inefficiencies in larger mature companies is tremendous. And we are obsessed about making those engineers take advantage of their capital, of the talent that they can get, to convert it into actual technology output, right? That will transform people's life, that will transform the business. So that's, I would say, is our mission, making engineering organizations modern, regardless of their context, right?
Yeah, I love the way you use the word obsessed. You know, and I always pleases me. A little smile comes to my mouth, you know, unknowingly to me. I just feel it come up when I hear a founder, when I hear a business go, "We're obsessed with this. This is our mission. This is what we want to achieve." You know, and it's that kind of drive that really helps people, you know, move forward and succeed in where they want to go. So, Julian, what's going to stop? That's a great. What's going to stop you getting there? What can you foresee being the stumbling blocks in the industry, or that you're going to come across that you can see in the next 12 months that will potentially hinder you getting to those goals?
Can you repeat the question? Because I didn't get it completely on the audio.
Sure. So you got your 12-month goal, your 36-month goal, the mission of where the company wants to go. What can you foresee as challenges in the next 12 months that you might come up against that might prevent you or slow you down from hitting those goals?
Well, I believe that the challenge that comes with growth are, you know, you have different axes of complexity that you have to deal with, right? But one of the most interesting ones has to do with operations. As you grow, like, right, you have to provide operations both for, let's say, the customers you already acquire, but you also, as you grow your partnerships, you also have to provide some kind of support for that process as well, right? Because going into the market with another partner always puts some, let's say, some stress on your operational, let's say, abilities and your operational load. So you have to develop the skills, you know, in the team, in the company, and to acquire the skills to scale that process, right?
Right. Okay. So, and this is the key thing. I mean, when it comes to the size of your company with the team that you have, is that something, are you a company, are you an operation size where everybody knows a little bit about everything, or you're quite segregated in the skill sets that you have as partners, as in and a team?
I don't know, Dario, if you want to.
I didn't hear the question very well. Sorry, can you repeat?
So, as Julian said, you know, one of the challenges of growing a company is making sure that we have the right team, the right skill sets in place to grow, because it's all well and good as founders and as leaders of a company to know what you're doing, but you can either do it all by yourself, or you can actually have a team that will do all things differently, so you can all grow together under one mission. How are you finding that challenge of making sure you have a team that's on the same page moving forward with the same mission?
Amazing. I think we have quite a hack there, right? It's like we have the benefit of being a company that engineers loves working in, right? And the reason is that we work transforming engineers' lives, right? So it's like people is usually very, very well connected. We don't have this problem that other companies do have, that is connecting the mission with the engineering team, right? I mean, most of our team is engineering, right? Because our engineers sell, our engineers do support, and our engineers build the product. It's an engineering organization from the.
And we are our first customer, right? So engineers actually, let's say, rely on our own product, right? So they feel how the product works day after day.
Yeah, Null Platform is built on Null Platform, right? So they, from the very first day, they are super connected to the business. We kind of didn't have to lead with this problem. So it's we are lucky about that, and hope to keep that luck over time. But it's like we are a company in which engineers want. I mean, it's a company that is 99% engineering, like sales is engineering, pre-sales engineering, post-sales engineering, like everything is engineering. The only non-engineering job is billing, probably, right? But the rest is engineering, that engineers usually love what we do, and then that is. And are, let's say, knowledgeable about the business. So it's a kind of a cultural benefit that we have.
And that is truly amazing to hear that, you know, you're basing it all around engineering. You've obviously got the sales people that understand the engineering as well. You've got the marketing team. You've got the leadership team. They're all engineers and moving that forward. Because it can get, especially with engineers, and this is where the difference is, especially with engineers, they can get too stuck into the weeds. They get too stuck into the woods, and they're not pushing it forward. They're too busy doing than growing. And the fact that you have that within your company that grows from that. So what would you say for another company who is literally struggling to get their engineers, who are the crux of the company, to see that mission, or not even just to see it, to actually believe it and work towards it? What piece of advice would you give these people?
Oh, I have a good one there, which I usually, sorry, I can't avoid selling Null Platform, but that said, I think that having the right engineering process in place is a huge helper in terms of building the right technology organization, a technology that loves your product, that is focused on the business. When you are hiring a technology team and you are doing trade-offs of, let's say, knowledge or experience in, let's say, specific technologies, let's say I'm hiring someone that actually knows about our complex stack, that will seriously compromise the quality and the culture of your team, because you will be prioritizing other things like having the necessary knowledge to operate inside of your, let's say, complex company. And that's a huge, technology is not news, right? It's a complex market. It's hard to find talented people. But if you add like a huge checklist of technologies and complexities, then it's a lot more complicated. It ends up being more expensive, and probably less business aligned or less culturally aligned with your company. So if you want to have an engineering organization that is highly aligned with the business, first, you need to move away all the requirements that are not related to the business, and make it easier for you to find prospects that are, let's say, suitable for your team, right? And I think that's a core piece of advice. And the other thing is for them to be working most of the time on the business, right? It's like not most of the time on, let's say, tricky technology pieces, etc., but being focused on how they transform customers' lives with technology. I think that's...
I would like to double down on this thing that Dario is saying, that is that you need the engineers to be connected with the product, the business, and to be part of it, right? And to be the product managers up to some extent. They have to, as much as you can, live the, what is happening with the product and be in contact with customers. And, you know, to those are things that have to do with engagement. If you have the right people that is, you know, is engaged with what to do, you're going to be able to put them into that position and they're going to bring a lot of value. And those are going to be the people that are going to be with you for the long run. So to me, it's key to find people on the engineering community that will take this role and will not, you know, have this passive role in like they are just there, you know, coding, and it will be the same for them to be doing what you're doing or something different. You have to find engaged people that can mold the product and kind of, you know, shape it with you, with your customers, and with the rest of the organization, and you know, like being the heart of what you're selling.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that, both of you guys, because you know, you mentioned it, Dario, got us working on the business, not just in the business all the time. And with Julian, you're saying obviously, look, getting the team right from the very beginning to buy into that mission and understand it's not just about the company, it's about the whole infrastructure, it's about the connection with the customers, with the clients, and making sure that the clients understand your mission as well and why you're doing what you're doing to help them get to where you can. But it is getting that right type of person right at the very beginning and installing that from the very beginning, you know. And so hats off to you guys for doing that and getting, because I know that is definitely one of the insights we've learned over the last 12 to 18 months, where getting people, leaders, to get people who understand their mission and to work at their mission and to embody their mission is an extremely hard thing to do, you know. And therefore it now comes down to, in fact, let me ask you the question rather than to assume, staff team retention. It seems that it's a very, very important task in today's modern tech world. What are your thoughts on that? What do you see that as challenges? Are you okay on that? What advice do you give to people with regards to keeping the team together?
So I have two comments on that, right? Like the first is to reduce the cost of team rotation. That is one of the things. Like, I mean, rotation is probably something that is healthy at some degree. I like not having rotation at all is something that is probably negative. Mm-hmm. In terms of, let's say, keeping the people that actually loves what you're doing. Not everybody loves it. So it's absolutely people that don't love it to go away. But you need to be prepared for, let's say, to onboard new people very easily. And I think that that's one of the things. I mean, you need to be prepared for a healthy rotation in general. And I think having, given that you are, let's say, okay with everything that is needed to keep someone in the company, right? Like being, having the right compensation, having like a good work environment, etc. Right. I think that the reason why people stay in companies is a combination of two things, like having the right management or the right manager, right? And people being connected with what they're doing, right? It's like loving what they're doing. So I think like there's a combination there that you need for people to be doing what you want them to do. That's the business, right? Or generating and buying the business, and people loving that. So having an environment that invites more people, that embraces healthy rotation, and making sure your people that is connected to the business or to your vision, right, is kind of the key for a healthy team, right, with healthy rotation. Sorry, probably it's not very specific, but that's what I think. It's like, okay, you need to embrace rotation in order to have low rotation, right? To have the right one. So you create an environment in which people is connected to the right things and is loving them, right?
Yeah. Julian, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I completely endorse what they're saying. Maybe what I could think also about is that you have to create an environment in which people are developing, right? This is especially true if you have, you know, like young people and engineers who have, some of them are self-taught, you know, that this is a discipline in which you have a lot of people that can start working before having an university title, or, you know, let's say a higher degree of formal education. So they really they really love and they appreciate a lot what they are getting in terms of personal development and, well, professional development, right? Mm-hmm. You have to take some risk and give them the opportunity, you know, and give them some spaces to fail, let's say, and to learn and to ultimately outgrow themselves, right?
Yeah.
So that is something that people value a lot.
It's like opportunities with psychological safety, right? Not being super hostile at failure. Create an environment in which people can fail.
You know, I absolutely love that psychological safety and the psychological, because as you said, as tech moves very quickly, it's very easy to get things wrong very quickly. And if you're not giving people space or the safeness area to learn that and learn it quickly, it turns into a detriment. You know, so the fact that you understand, you know, allowing people to fail, but fail quickly and get back up again, is fantastic. So listen, as we wrap up, I'm going to ask one loaded question, all right? And I'd like both of you to answer this, because this has been absolutely great. And thank you very much for sharing your insights on this. But for those who are listening to this podcast, who are leaders or aspiring leaders, they want to grow to the next level. You guys have got it dialed in. It sounds like you know where you're going to go in 12, 36 months. And, you know, I'll be keeping a strong, keen eye on your growth with Null Platform. But what is the one piece of advice, and from each of you, what is your one piece of advice you'll be giving to listeners who are leaders in their field already about running a successful tech business?
I think I let Julian answer this one first.
I don't think I'm gonna be like super original here, but if I will have to go back into our own history, you know, like most of what we of our product has been, you know, not most of our product, but at the early stages, like we have built it ourselves, right? So one of the things that I'm super sure is that be there, be hands-on, be with your customers, understand, observe your customers and see what works, what doesn't work, and change quickly. We are still laughing at ourselves on the mistakes.
Some decisions,
And decisions in the early days, and how sure we were that we were right about how things were supposed to be, and well, that wasn't the reality, right? So as much as you can, try and put it on the street, get feedback, yeah. Change, and do it all again as much as you can. And at some point, it is going to start to work. And once you find something that works, go down that path, and also like trust a little bit in yourself and give chances to your product, right? Like in our early days, like of course our product is a very complex product to sell, right? When you are an early stage startup, and perseverance was very, very important for us, and at some point it paid off a big
there
time.
Is a tension there, right? It's like, okay, you have to, let's say, move fast so that you can start iterating the product and moving to the right direction that will fit customer needs. That's one part of the, let's say, of the picture. The other part is if you start flipping because of reasons that could be related with they don't trust you, they feel they are too small, you are too small, or other things, then you might flip too much. So there is kind of a tension. So the best idea is like what Julian said. It's like having something and making sure you start receiving, let's say, feedback about that, but still being, let's say, having a degree of conviction, if you want, at a higher level. It's like, this is the problem that I'm going to solve. I'm just trying to figure out how to do it. I think that's, and I will have a product that is minimum and start reiterating it fast so I can solve it. But having you need to have a high degree of conviction on what is that you are going to solve at least, right? And then having a product that you can iterate and stuff like that. Needs to be, let's say, a very intensive kind of thing, right? You need to show it a lot. You need to have a very big sample so that you you make a decision. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me add on top of that if you have an engineering background and you are you come from, you know, a specialty that is very technical, you have to start thinking about how the whole process looks, right? Because it's much more than building something. It has to do with actually explaining the value and selling something to others, right? So you have to, well, to work on every step on the pipeline, and that will bring you out of your comfort zone for sure.
That's brilliant. Gentlemen, I think that is a fantastic, thank you very much. So that's been a fantastic end note to our time together. Thank you very much for sharing your insights and your story with us today. So if people want to get hold of you, what's the best way to get in hold of you? And to know more about you.
To put in contact with us, it's through our homepage. It's one of the alternatives. We have a kind of an invitation to a meeting. We can arrange a conversation.
Yeah, it's www.nullplatform.io. That is the best way to get in touch with us.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Daria. Thank you very much, Julian, for your times and your expertise and your insights today. All the very best. Keep it good, guys. See you there. Bye-bye.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.